So we all face struggles and obstacles in life. We can face mental and emotional challenges like depression and low self-esteem. We can face physical challenges such as illness and disability, or societal challenges like homophobia, racism, and sexism. We all have multiple things that we struggle with on a regular basis. Considered one of our country's greatest presidents, Abraham Lincoln is well known for his impressive accomplishments. But those accomplishments required overcoming many obstacles in his life, personal, professional, and political. But did you know that he also suffered from chronic depression? And in fact, it wasn't something that Lincoln really tried to hide. He had friends that described his spells as melancholy. And he sometimes spoke of suicide and described the world as hard and grim. And according to one biographer, Lincoln's behavior at times included change in appetite, fatigue, feelings of worthlessness, and thoughts of suicide, all symptoms of serious depression. But Lincoln learned to live with those struggles, and he overcome them at least enough to live a fruitful life. I think one could even argue that that struggle helped shape him into the great leader that he was. Life's obstacles are not fun, of course, but they can help us learn and grow. And Lincoln coped with his depression in several ways. First, he lived with purpose. He focused on the goals that he had. And second, he employed a sense of humor. He once called the stories and the jokes that he told the vents of his moods and gloom. And third, he found joy wherever he could. Lincoln loved to read and to learn, and he pursued those things with a passion. And fourth, Lincoln cultivated humility and faith in his life. He didn't allow failure to define him, nor was he threatened by the success of others. And I think this humility sprang from his faith. When life was too much, he was able to give his fear and his doubts over to God to carry. Our faith can indeed help us deal with our struggles in life. But what is faith? What does faith look like? Sometimes we talk about faith and use it as a synonym for doctrine, where faith might mean what we believe about God. And related to that, we also sometimes use faith as a synonym for religion, asking, well, what's your faith? But for me, faith is not so much about my religious practices or the things that I believe about the holy. Faith is more about trust in the holy, trust in a higher power, trust in the power of love. To me, having faith is having hope. It means trusting that with God's help, however we understand God, everything is going to be okay. And I wonder if this kind of faith doesn't look a little like the story of Jacob wrestling with the stranger in the middle of the night. Jacob facing an encounter the next day with his estranged brother Esau is worried and filled with fear as he goes off by himself for the night. And he's wondering if Esau will accept him or if Esau might even attack him for his past of transgressions. Remember, Jacob is the one who stole Esau's birthright. Jacob doesn't know what kind of reaction he's going to get the next day, but he fears the worst. And while he's there alone in the night, a stranger begins to wrestle with him. And Jacob is injured, but overall they seem pretty evenly matched. And near daybreak, the stranger demands to be let go. And in turn, Jacob demands a blessing from the stranger. Now that's kind of a pretty strange twist to the story. Because if a stranger started a fight, How many of us would refuse to quit fighting until that same person gave us a blessing? I'm guessing pretty much nobody. It is a weird thing to do. And I wonder if it's because of Jacob's faith. Jacob persevered through the night despite being injured. He faced an unexpected struggle and he didn't give up. He didn't run. He put his trust in God. And I think perseverance, trusting in God and not giving up, is maybe what faith looks like. And of course, context matters as well. To persevere doesn't necessarily mean to always fight. Not giving up can also mean finding other options, a way around our obstacles. It can also mean learning to live with an obstacle, turning an unexpected struggle into an unexpected blessing. And that's kind of what Jacob does in the end. He demands a blessing from the struggle. He doesn't cry out, God, why is this happening to me? No, for Jacob, the struggle doesn't seem to be devastating. Instead, it was holy. And although we often name the stranger that Jacob wrestles with as an angel or maybe even God, the Bible never identifies who the stranger really is. And if the stranger were an angel or God, why would they be afraid of daybreak? And wouldn't they already know Jacob's name? But Jacob still calls this encounter an encounter with God. Maybe God wasn't in the stranger as much as God was in the struggle. And if we want to read Jesus into this scene, isn't the coming of the light the turning point of the struggle? The thing that seems to transform this from a fight into a holy happening? We all have what St. John of the Cross called dark nights of the soul, times of fear or despair. But the story of Jacob promises that even a terrible, unsettling night can become a source of blessing. There's no promise that these dark nights of the soul will leave us unscathed. They test us, and we may struggle to meet that challenge. But maybe faith is seeing life through the divine light and understanding our obstacles and struggles as holy and sacred. Maybe faith is trusting God that we will grow and learn from the pain and the fear that we experience, even if it leaves us with a limp, as Jacob's encounter did. How would our perspectives and attitudes change if we understood our struggles as sacred encounters, as something to learn and to grow from? Is approaching life in such a way what faith looks like? Now, faith does not mean not having doubts and fears. Jacob began the night afraid, but I think it was through his faith that he persevered and was blessed. And in our gospel reading, we might see a little doubt in the disciples as well. Faced with a large, hungry crowd, they asked Jesus to send all the people away. And maybe the disciples were worried about the welfare of the crowd, or maybe they feared that the crowd would become unruly. Maybe they were just tired after a long day. In any case, they didn't know what to do. No one was leaving. It was getting late. They had no way to feed all of these hungry people. After all, in their possession were just 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. But Jesus said, no, what we have to share is enough. And then he blessed the food and broke it and gave it to the disciples to feed the people. And it was more than enough. The disciples were unsure and doubting, but I don't think they lacked faith. After all, they didn't just start encouraging people to go home. Instead, they turned to Jesus and presented the best idea that they could come up with, which was to send the people away. And then the disciples didn't seem to scoff either when Jesus said that the 5 loaves and 2 fish would be enough. Although I can imagine what they must have been thinking. Instead, they trusted. They remained open to possibility. And they did what Jesus asked them to do. Maybe faith looks like giving it our best effort while still remaining open to the possibility that there might be even better solutions if we trust and we listen to others and listen to God. Maybe faith is turning to God, trusting God, saying, what about this idea? What if we do this? And it might be just what's needed. Or God might lead us in another direction entirely. Now, I think faith also looks like what we might call abundance thinking. That's not what the disciples were doing. The disciples employ scarcity thinking, saying, well, we don't have enough. It can't be done with the resources that we have. We need to hang on to these 5 loaves and 2 fishes because they won't even feed the 12 or 13 of us, let alone 5,000 families. And I think we probably do that a lot, too. It's hard not to, thinking that we don't have enough. Not enough money, not enough time, not enough people. But maybe faith is thinking more like Jesus. This is what we have. Let's see what we can do with it. And surprise, we ask God's blessing and get started, and what we have turns out to be more than enough. Maybe we start small and grow. Maybe our passion excites others and they kick in what they have too. When we're working out of love and compassion, when we put in a little, we get a lot back. That's how love works. Now, when the stranger asked Jacob's name, the name that represents his very self, his identity, Jacob gives it again, I think, out of faith. And he's blessed and he's transformed. The one known as the heel grabber, pulled along on the merit of others, becomes the one who wrestles with God and mortals and prevails. And yes, he does come away with a limp. We probably shouldn't forget that part. Jacob gives thanks that he came face to face with God and survived, an acknowledgement that close encounters with the divine change us, and they can feel scary and dangerous sometimes. Change often does. But when we walk in faith, we find ourselves blessed more often than not. And so what does faith look like to you? Giving our best while remaining open to new possibility? Abundance thinking? Understanding struggle as sacred? Perseverance. Whatever struggles we might be facing, we're invited and encouraged to put our trust in the divine's guidance. When we walk in faith and seek God's blessing, turning our despair and fear over to God, we are freed to live abundantly in God's love. This week, may you come face to face with the divine and be blessed. Amen.